teachers that taught them and took the time to do that. Thank you for bringing them Wednesday evening. Wednesday evenings when they do most of these events and different things like that. You may not think those medals are a big deal, but I promise you, those kids think they're jingling them leaving services this morning. Colossians chapter 3 this morning. Colossians chapter number 3. And we'll talk a little bit about Thanksgiving this morning. Acts chapter 3, of course, we just celebrated Thanksgiving, and if you were here with us for our midweek, our midweek this week was Tuesday, and we shared some of our testimonies about how God's been good to us, and so Tuesday night was our Thanksgiving service, and I'm going through a series right now on the church, but I figured since they're trying to cancel Thanksgiving all over the United States, I thought it'd probably be important to preach a message on the art of Thanksgiving, the art of Thanksgiving. I think that it has become a lost art in our world today, not just around Thanksgiving time, but being thankful, period, just being a thankful person. A thankful heart, a happy heart. I've heard that stated before, and a lot of people are unhappy in our world today, and they're unhappy a lot of times because they're unthankful. And it's an interesting thing to think about, this unthankfulness that we see in our world, and I think there's some reasons for it. When it comes to unthankfulness, I think probably first and foremost is sinfulness would be probably the number one reason why people are unthankful. We have it in our head, and I don't know where we got it from. Somewhere along the way, so I was listening to the radio and heard a lady get on talking about the things that she was thankful for. She was thankful for her husband getting saved. And I thought that was pretty neat. She told the story about her husband being saved. She made this statement before she said what she was thankful for. She said, "Now, understand that I've always been a Christian." And that is not a right statement. And you've not always been a Christian. If you're a Christian this morning and you're saved, you know, Christ is your Savior, then there's a time. Whether that time was a child or an adolescent, young adult, whenever it was, there was a time that you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If there's not been a time that you've done that, then you're not saved. That's clearly taught in scriptures, and there's no sense in skating around it. It's just the truth of the Word of God. So nobody is born a Christian. Nobody is born saved. Matter of fact, we are all born sinners. We're all born lost and undone without Christ. There's none righteous, the scripture says, no, not one. We've all gone astray. We've all missed the mark. And so sinfulness is a problem that we find in our world today, not only amongst lost people, but even amongst saved people. Who aren't doing the right thing. And often, sinfulness will lead to unthankfulness in our lives. So, let me give you the second thing. Not only sinfulness, but selfishness. People are by and far selfish by nature. And give me, give me, give me, give me. Have a handout. And by the way, they don't want something for something. They want something for nothing. And they don't want to actually do anything. They just want you to give it to them. And that's this whole idea that's, you know, spreading around in our country. Let me stay home. You go to work and you pay me to stay home. And that's what's happening a lot in our world today. And I'm not talking about people that are unemployment or can't find a job. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that just are just lazy. And they think that they deserve something. And a lot of people become unthankful because they're selfish. And then, some people are not thankful because they're sidetracked. You ever get sidetracked? You ever get doing a project and then you get sidetracked from that project and never gets finished? Anybody ever do that? Some of us got projects all over the place because we have good intentions. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to get this done, or I'm going to complete this, or I'm going to do whatever. And then we get sidetracked doing something else, and sometimes we don't get back to that. Sometimes we get sidetracked playing and forget to be thankful. We can forget that we ought to be thankful and that we have plenty to be thankful for. And sometimes we forget that in the busyness of life. And sometimes we go so fast, and we've got work, and we've got family, and we've got all these things that we're trying to do. We've got, if you will, a lot of irons in the fire, right? We've got a lot of irons in the fire. I've heard people say over and over again, I'm pretty much convinced that I'm never going to retire, because every time I hear somebody say that they're retired, they say they're busier now than they've ever been before. And it doesn't matter if you're retired or if you're working or what. There's always something in life to occupy your time. Always. And something's always, it's kind of like there's always somebody that's trying to get your money. Right? I mean, they're calling all the time. They want your money for this. They want your money for that. And this is a good cause. And that's a good cause. And there's so many. I'm not talking about the bad. I'm not talking about the scams and all those. I'm talking about good things that you can give to, but you can't give. If you give to all of them, you end up with no money, right? And so there's a lot of good things out there, but sometimes we get so enamored with the things of this world that we get sidetracked and forget that we are blessed. God has blessed us richly and abundantly, and we need to be reminded of that from time to time. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Look with me in verse number 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful, he says. Look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, by the way, word or deed means everything, whether you're speaking it or doing it. Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and to the Father by Him. So in everything that we said, what is Paul? Paul here is speaking to the church at Colossae, and he's telling them, listen, in everything you need to give thanks. For everything you need to give thanks. And if we are, when we have this, the spirit of thanksgiving, if we have this, it's kind of like the scripture where in Thessalonians about us to pray without ceasing. You read that verse. Pray without ceasing. It's easy. Some of y'all think out of the 28 verses, pray without ceasing. Jesus wept. I'm including those two. But pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Does it mean going around battling all the time? No. It means having a spirit of prayer. It means being ready to pray at all times. It means when somebody needs you to pray, you're ready to pray right then. It means to be ready at all times. It's what Paul said when he said, preach the word. Begins the in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. What is he saying? He's saying be ready to preach at all times and in every season. We need to be ready to pray at all times and in all seasons. And we need to be thankful at all times and in every season. And sometimes we allow life, whether it is, politics or finances or pandemics or whatever it might be going on in our world currently, sometimes we allow those things to drain the thanksgiving that we ought to have in our lives every day. I believe the number one reason One of the number one reasons that we're not thankful today is because Thanksgiving is not taught. It's not taught in our homes anymore. It's not taught in our churches anymore. It's just not taught anymore. And you say, oh, that's just not true. Well, it really is. Go out in your community. And by the way, it's getting worse, not better. It's getting worse, not better. I mean, if you, and I use this illustration all the time, but you hold the door for somebody and they look at you like you're so postal. Are you kidding me? I mean, you stop for somebody and let them cross, they look at you like, I dare you from you. You know, I mean, people are not thankful anymore in our world today. And one of the reasons is we stop teaching it. We stop teaching the importance of Thanksgiving. If you read your Bible, then you know and you can tell throughout the scriptures that Thanksgiving is important to God. Thanksgiving. And I'm not talking about Thanksgiving the holiday. Okay? You see, what we've done is we've taken Thanksgiving and we've done like we've done with Christmas. So what do we think about when we think about Christmas? So often, what's thought about, I'm not talking about just you, I'm not talking about our church, I'm just talking about in general, when you talk about Christmas, what do you usually think about? Rudolph, Santa Claus, lights, decorations. You know, it's always a fun thing to go and watch, you know, go see lights that somebody's put up or drive through a, you know, a light display and beautiful decoration. I'm not saying, I'm not here to tell you any of those things are wrong. I'm just telling you we have sidetracked what Christmas is really all about. So what do we think about when we think about Thanksgiving? We think about turkey. Right? So it's like against the law. Turkey, right? You gotta have turkey. I mean, you gotta have stuffing, right? What do you think about when you think about Thanksgiving? You think about food? What do you think about when you think about Thanksgiving? You know what people often think about? Black Friday. Shopping, right? You couldn't get me to go to Black Friday. Not 1 year. I told you this. 1 year. My wife talked me into it. She wanted to go to two places. We haven't figured out how to be in two places at one time. So she said, I need you to go here. And I can't remember what it was. And I'm going to go here. I said, okay, I'll try. I'll spill or something like that. I pulled into that place. I mean, that the line was out the door, down the building, and all the way down the other side. So back down. Pulled in. I turned around, did a U-turn, went right back in. I went. Was it? Sorry, that didn't have a thing. That didn't have what you needed. So, but what do we think about? We think about Black Friday. We think about shopping. When we should be thinking about our Christmas, we should be thinking about the Lord Jesus. And be thankful for his birth. And at Thanksgiving, we ought to be thinking about the Lord Jesus. You know why? We should be thinking about the Lord Jesus because every season, we ought to be thinking about the Lord Jesus. And we ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful for what God has done for us. We ought to be thankful for the blessings that he showers down upon us each and every day. As we think about Thanksgiving, let's think about a couple things. Number one, the purpose of Thanksgiving. What's the purpose? What's the purpose of Thanksgiving? Number one is to praise him. It's to praise him. That's what Thanksgiving's all about. Now, when we're right this way, we'll be right this way. Okay? So when we're thankful with God, we're going to be thankful with each other. So why does it start with God? Because it always starts with God. God always ought to have the priority in our life. Psalm 79 in verse number 13. The scripture is over it. It's just filled with references to thanksgiving and how we are to be thankful. Psalm 79. Here's what Asaph said in verse number 13. So we, thy people and the sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. We shall show forth thy praise to all generations. Being thankful to God, praising God for what he's done, not only brings the honor and glory to God, but it shows others who's most important in our lives. You see, the person you praise the most is the one that you hold in the highest esteem. And the one that we should praise the most is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's done the most for us in our lives. He's the one that deserves preeminence in our lives. So we ought to praise Him. Praise Him for what? What do we need to praise Him for? Well, it's real easy. On Tuesday night, if you're here with us, and we went around and we shared testimonies, as we usually do on Thanksgiving, and by and far, the very first thing most people said is, I'm thankful for my redemption. I'm thankful that God saved me. You see, we've got this thing in our mind that because we tend to be so selfish that God was obligated to save us. I don't want you to know something. God's not obligated to do anything. God's not a lucky rabbit's foot that you have in your pocket or a genie in a lamp and you rub it and he comes out and he grants all your wishes. That's not how that works. God is God, and God can do what God wants to do. God doesn't stand before you. You stand before Him. In fact, you'll kneel before Him. Every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow before Him. And if He doesn't answer to us, we answer to Him. You see, this idea that He's our good buddy or that He's the man upstairs is sacrilegious, really, is what it is. Because God, the God of heaven, deserves our praise. He deserves our honor. He deserves our adoration. And matter of fact, I'll take it a step further. He demands it. He demands it because He's God. He saved us. Well, I'm telling you, if you have nothing else to be thankful for, sometimes we have parties, right? They're lonely parties. They're called pity parties. We're like Elijah, and we find ourselves a juniper tree. And we go powder and eat, but we all do it over one day or another. Why? Because, you know, life's not fair. Somebody said something, or somebody did something, or I should have been the one promoted, not that person, or whatever it is. Why is this happening to me? You ever ask that question? This is another question we ask. This is another thing we do. Well, Lord, what did I do wrong? So we have this idea that everything's supposed to go good in my life. I'm never supposed to get sick. I'm always supposed to have money in my pocket. My relationships are always supposed to be perfect. Everything's supposed to be good because I'm going to church on Sunday. This idea we have, and we need to say it out loud and proud, but often we think that in our hearts. And we think that nothing bad is ever going to happen to me because I'm a Christian. Well, good news, bad news. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Good things happen to bad people, and bad things happen to good people. That's just the facts of life. Is all things going to come out in the end right? Yes. Listen, that's why God says that vengeance is mine, faithful warrior. We don't have to. Vengeance is not ours. Vengeance is the Lord. And the Lord's going to sort it all out in the end. That man looks like that. That Hollywood star that's a reprobate, he's got all the riches and all the good, but I'm telling you, I promise you something. He's got problems too. She's got problems too because it's part of life. We need to praise Him for His redemption. God has saved us. Jesus Christ has saved us. You can't save yourself. This church can't save you. Another person can't save you. Baptism can't save you. Being a good person can't save you. Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone can save you. God said there in John chapter 14 and verse 6 that when Jesus spoke these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the only way. If you're going to get to heaven, it's going to be through me. There is no other way to get there. Jesus is the only way. That's why He came. That's why He died. That's why He was buried. And praise God, that's why He rose again the third day. And He's at the right hand of the Father, the Bible says, interceding for you and for me. Place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you can know what it is to be saved and to know Christ as your own Savior. So we need to praise Him for His redemption. Number two, we need to praise Him for His resources. So God hasn't left us without resources, has He? He's given us all the tools that we need to be successful. Do you realize, if you don't, you need to realize that God desires for you to be a Psalm 1 Christian. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to succeed. I want to tell you, God's not up in heaven with a sledgehammer waiting for you to mess up. And then when you mess up, he goes, bam! Because God's not like you and me. God's not up in heaven with lightning bolts, just waiting. That's exactly what don't smirk at me. You know exactly that's what you would do. I mean, we'd have half the population dead. Somebody makes us mad, bam, gone. You ever made this statement? I'm not going to church. I can't go to church. The church is awful. But we got pretty sure your Baptists in our church. I don't think it's going to fall in. I mean, what are they saying? They're saying, I'm so simple. I'm so bad. God would collapse it. So God would kill everybody just to kill you. Right? I mean, it's the kind of things we think of. When we think of God, God's not like that. God is a forgiving God. Now, is God a judging God? He is. Is God a God of wrath? He is. But let me tell you something. God is a forgiving God, a graceful God, a merciful God. And God wants to see you succeed. So for you to succeed, you have to have the tools. Right? I mean, you got to have the tools to succeed. If you're like me, I'm not a do-it-yourself. Okay? My do-it-yourselfer is calling somebody to come in and do it. Myself, okay? That's my do-it-yourself. So I got all your basic tools, right? But you ever go to do a job and you don't have a tool? No. It's absolutely inevitable. I mean, you have every other tool on the shelf, and you look through the drawers, and you look through the drawers, and there's no tool there. You got to go to phones. And you get that tool, right? You got to send it. Right? Come home. It's inevitable. You got to go. There's something else you gotta get. You ever do that? You don't have the stuff that you need. I tell my wife all the time, when she asks me to do a job, I do as bad as I possibly can. So she don't ask me to do it. I mean, that's just the goal, right? I don't want to do that. I don't want to put this together. I don't want to hang this. I don't have the tools for it. Aren't you glad God gives you the tools? He gives you what you need. Let me tell you what you need to be thankful for. Number one, you need to be thankful for the Spirit. The Spirit that indwells you, that lives inside of you. If you're a Christian, if you're born again, then you are baptized by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God indwells you and lives inside of you. And the Spirit of God wants to guide you into all truth. He wants to show you the way. He doesn't want to play games with you. He doesn't want to lead you astray. He wants you to know exactly where you're going and why you're going. The Spirit is like, not totally like, because sometimes we like to blow the GPS up, but it's sometimes like the GPS. So if you plug a destination to the GPS, now, it may take you through a cornfield, or it may take you through some of the worst neighborhoods that you've ever been in your life, but it's going to get you to your destination, usually. Now, there are some times I've had people say, now listen, don't follow GPS, we'll bring you blah. If you take and put GPS in your phone from my house, it's crazy. It takes you in, you go into the neighborhood, take a left, second half to the left. GPS will take you in, take you to the right, take you all the way around, and then take you to our house. So GPS isn't always, the best way, but it'll always get you where you're going. Listen, the Spirit wants to get you where you're going. God knows where you need to be. You see, He's the power of the slave. He is molding us and making us into what He wants us to be. And so, what agent does He use? He uses the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God that indwells us helps us along life's way. Be thankful for His resources when it comes to the Spirit. Be thankful for His resources when it comes to the Scriptures. Well, aren't you glad? You should be. If you're not glad, you ought to be. That these kids are memorizing the Scriptures. But then, once you get it in there, it's in there. Then you might forget a word, or you might forget the tag where it comes from, or you might forget, you might get a couple words mixed up. But man, I'm telling you, once it's in there, it's in there. It's kind of like a song, right? Maybe you used to listen to a certain kind of music, and you go into Walmart and that music is playing, and you start singing it, and it says your kids at Walmart. Where'd you look? It got in there. As much as you try to get things out, it don't come out, do they? You can't remember things you're supposed to. Right? Those things that you want to forget, they're stuck in there forever. Let me tell you, the scripture. I don't know how many times I've done this. When we were at school, I decided I hate writing papers. One of the major reasons, probably the only reason, is because I hate writing papers. Now, I'll write a sermon that I can preach for 6 months. But when it comes to papers, not so much. Semicolons, all that kind of thing. I don't care about those things. Just leave them all out. Right? You can't do that when you write the papers. And so when I was in school, we had to take doctorates. And when you took doctorates in school, you had to write 10-page papers. Take 10 of them. Something crazy like that. So I was like, how can I get out this, right? So I took it during the summer. In the summer, you didn't have to write a single page. That's awesome. I'll do that. I got a box in my office of scripture verses that you had to memorize. I'm talking about, like, chapters. Not a couple of verses. I'm talking about chapters. Yeah, I'm memorizing these verses and memorizing them. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is my goal. This is my goal. I'm going to put it here until I have to put it there. You ever study like that? You put it here, and put it here, and you're done. Let me tell you something. Once you put scripture here, it's there. And look, I've got verses to memorize, and I forgot I memorized. If somebody asks me a question, and you pop out the verse, and you ever done that? You'll put yourself, well, I didn't even know I knew that verse. Because as long as you're internalizing the scriptures, God's going to bless that. And the younger you are, the easier it is to memorize. If you don't think that's true, go ahead and start memorizing that. Start learning the language. It's harder to get older. When you're younger, you just pick it up. Your mind is more spry when you're younger. Right? So your mind isn't as old as it is when you get older, and you can easily memorize these things. The scriptures, what God has given us in the Word of God. In all scripture, 2 Timothy 3 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's what? Profitable. God's word is profitable for you. It's a tool that every Christian needs. You can't be a good Christian without the scriptures. You've got to have the scriptures. Now, some people don't have a copy of the scriptures. There's some countries that only have portions of the scriptures. Let me tell you what they do. They memorize the Word of God. They're forced to memorize the Word of God because they only have portions of it for a week at a time. And we have forgotten the importance of Scripture because of how many Scriptures that we have. I took Brother Larry to my office. He's looking for a new Bible for his granddaughter. And I said, look, let me show you something I have. I was almost embarrassed. Because I was trying to get to the one Bible that I had, and I started pulling Bible. I'm talking about Bibles and study Bibles. And stacking them out to get to that one Bible, I think to myself, who needs that many Bibles? Oh, I do. I mean, who else needs that many Bibles? No, it's not good enough to own it, right? You can't have it on your side, stand, fall asleep, and then, it just kind of moves into your brain. You got to actually open it. And by the way, you can't go to bed at night and then lay down your head and hope it gets there through osmosis. That don't happen either. You actually have to open up the Word of God and use it as the tool that God intended it for it to be, that it might be profitable in your life for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. This is what this that verse 17 says, that the man of God may be perfect. Now, it's not talking about sinless. It's talking about mature. It's talking about growing up. The man of God may be perfect, truly furnished into all good works. God wants us to have all the tools we need. And he's given us the Spirit. He's given us the Scriptures. And then he's given us saints. Aren't you glad for people? Well, for most people, anyways. Okay, for some people. Some of y'all are just not smiling at all. At least for one person, right? I mean, we're thankful for the people that God has put in our lives. Do you know why? Because God placed people in our lives and they affect us. For good or bad, they affect us. They're a blessing, they're a curse, or they help or they hinder. I mean, that's what people do. And, you know, you do that for somebody. You do that for somebody. I'm thankful that Elisha had Elijah. I'm thankful that, you know, Titus and Timothy had Paul. You know what it means? You know, when Paul gets towards the end of his life, he starts commending people. And he's thankful for people who have been there for him. People that when he was in prison, they brought his parchments and they brought him clothes and they brought him food. People that were there to be an encouragement to him. He also recognized people that tried to hinder him as well. Because I'm telling you something, you've got to be careful of those people as well. You know, the scripture says that a multitude of counselors are saying, thankful for people who are there to give good advice. Now, there are people, there to give bad advice, so be careful what they're giving advice from. But these good people that are there for you, they're a shoulder to lean on. They're an ear to hear your cries. Aren't you like those people? I can count on my hands and a handful of people that God has really brought my life that made a monumental change. I'm talking about people even before I was saved. That I can look back now and realize God sent them in my life to help me. I mean, I don't even know that they knew that they were helping me. I remember as a young teenager, a young man, standing before a judge. And I remember that judge. Now, we lived in a very small town. I mean, small town. Everybody knew everybody. I tell you right now, he didn't have the power that he had, but we thought he did. And he basically looked at me and said, look, you've got one or two choices. I'm sick of looking at you. I'm sick of your nonsense. One of two choices. You want to get your life right and join the military, or you want to go to jail? Yeah. Then you got the power to do that? Probably not. I thought you did. Join the military. What? Through a series of events. Met my now wife. Got saved. All because a judge cared for kid that didn't need to be careful. Really, what he needed to do was just chuck me in jail and leave me there. But I was a plunk. I had a chip on my shoulder. Nobody was going to tell me what to do. No, that's who I was. And I'm glad for people like Miss Sherman, who was my English teacher. You've heard me tell about her. We call her the Dragon Lady. She smokes six packs a day. But we loved her. We took English, and I told you, I've never been good in English. Never. That's not my favorite subject. And she would take us, and we were failing in our senior year. English. For some reason, you have to be at school to pass. And so we didn't realize that, so we just never went. And so, do you know what she would do? She would take us to see. I remember going to see Cats. Remember that Broadway show or whatever it was? I mean, you know, boring. I almost ran ahead of my fingernails pulled out one by one. For an extra credit. I remember doing this, and if you'll do this, I'll give you an extra credit. I would talk in English because she passed it. Somebody who looked at me and said, you know what, I can do something for this young man. Aren't you glad for people like that in your life? And then the spiritual people that God has placed in my life that probably will never know how much they've done for me. how much God used them to be a blessing to me. Listen to me, church. We have so much to be thankful for. You just forget. Don't forget. Think back. That's why God has given us memories, so that we can think back on all the things that God has done for us. The protection of God. You ever thought about that? As a kid, we'd go to Salem. In Salem, there was a river. And where I'm from, there's covered bridges everywhere. Well, there's only one reason for a covered bridge, so you can jump on it. That's the only reason for a covered bridge. And so we go to these covered bridges, they have doors on them. Most of the doors, obviously, it was there, open, you can jump off. We do, constantly jump on covered bridges. Well, we go to the river, we get out, we'd open up a door, we climb up the door, climb up to the roof. We get to the peak of the roof, we'd run, get to the end, and just swan out off the top of the roof. Never one time did we ever check how deep the water was. We used to get, you ever seen a covered bridge underneath it? There are those concrete stanchions. We'd get underneath the bridge, get on those concrete stanchions, and see if we could jump over the rocks. Tell them. It's on a couple of feet. Just barely made it. Bungee jumping. All this rock climbing, all the things that we used to do. Think to myself, how dumb I was as a kid. Do you know how many fair rides I rode? I fear those things. I'm completely. Have you ever seen the people that assemble them? I'm afraid of fair rides. Okay? And so, but I used to ride all those things. Never been. The Lord's protection. You ever get on the highway? The minute you pull back in your driveway, you want. Because the Lord's protected us. And the Lord watches over us. Listen to me, church. We have so much to be thankful for. Stop forgetting. Stop being sidetracked. Stop being selfish. And be thankful for what God has done. What God is doing. And just take a peek at the scripture. And find out the things God's going to do for us in the future. I say this all the time about the Christian. The best is yet. The best is yet to come. For the lost person, it's sad because this is the best. But for the saved person, this is the best. Have you taken a glimpse into Revelation? Have you taken a glimpse at what heaven's going to be like? All the things that God is going to continue to do for us, we're going to rule and reign with Him during the millennial reign. We're going to be in heaven with streets of gold and mansions and all these things that we see. Can you imagine dangling your feet in the crystal sea? Oh, how do you know you're going to do that? How do you know you're not? There's very little we know, but the things that we know just blow your mind. Thank you, Lord. That would be on the tip of every single Christian's tongue. Thank you. You know, when we get mad, we all do it, right? We get mad from time to time, or we say things we shouldn't say. You know what we're doing? We're being unthankful. We don't want to be reminded, but we're being unthankful. When we start complaining, you know what we're doing? We're saying, God, you're not good enough. I deserve more. No, what we deserve, listen to me, as sinful human beings, what we deserve is to die for eternity. Everything else is worse. Everything else is worse. And that's reason for all eternity to praise Him. That's why our heads were praying. This morning, our heads are bowed and are closed. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've not had your sins forgiven. Can I say this morning that God loves you? Jesus came, and He came, and He preached, and He did miracles, and all the things that Jesus did when He came was amazing. But let me tell you what He came for. He came for a purpose. He came for a reason. He came with you in mind. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what He came for. And if you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, stop putting it off. Stop waiting until tomorrow, because tomorrow may never come. The scripture says, today is the day of salvation. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And we say, preacher, here's my hand. Pray for me. I'm not sure about my salvation. I'm not sure if I'm a guy right now. I'm good to have a good God. I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? Just slip your hand up this morning and right back down. I'm praying for you.